Welcome everyone to the show. You're with Ray Smith and Sandra Johnson. You're listening to the I Am Real Estate Show on KBOI The Voice. We appreciate you spending your time with us today, and we hope you enjoy the show. So on the show today, we have Sherry Gillette, who is the owner of Caring Transition. And the second half of the show, we will have Casey Anderson from the 4th Street Avenue Fair. 4th Avenue Street Fair.
Yeah. Words matter, right?
Yeah, words matter. How are you doing today, Sherry?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
We had done a show last week, and we quoted in the last portion of the show when you were talking a lot about your company, Caring Transitions.
Yes.
And I wanted, before we begin, can we tell them a little bit more about, well, let's go and recap what Caring Transition is.
Sure. Caring Transitions is a business that is primarily senior-based. We deal with people in transition, and that happens more with seniors than any other group.
Mm-hmm.
And it is for seniors who need to make a move. They are going to move from their home to something smaller. It can be a bungalow. It can be independent living. It can be assisted living, whatever their situation requires. We go in and spend time with them, helping them work through all the decisions that are required before they make such a major move in their life. So we meet with them, we learn about how they live, where they want to move to.
Uh-huh.
We then help them with a space plan that allows them to take the things that they need the most.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, a whole house won't fit into a smaller space. And so we work through that with them, which can be difficult.
Yes.
And then we will, on their schedule, go in and pack them, physically move all those items, and then unpack and resettle them in a new space.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, it truly is. You're not talking about just one facet of that move. And I have to say, you know, having been there not only with my own family, but in working with clients, just buying or selling a house is a very emotional and can be a very challenging time for them.
For sure. And honestly, realtors play the largest role. The home plays the largest role,
right,
in everything that happens. It's why realtors are such an important part of our business, because that is their greatest asset now. That said, seniors don't get attached to windows, walls, doors, roofs.
Yes, understood.
They get attached to things. And so we help them with their things. So we talked a little bit about how we help them through that move,
right,
and set them up in a way that feels comfortable to them, what we would call mirroring, where we set it up so that they're used to reaching left for coffee cups and right for drinking glasses in their kitchen. That's how we'll set it up. We will place all their books back in the same order that they came off of. We will set up their table next to their favorite chair exactly as we found it. We'll set their clothes back in their closet in the exact order they came out. So we take care of that piece, but then obviously there's stuff left,
right,
after that. And they may not be necessarily concerned about it, but
right,
a realtor is almost always going to be, because the home needs to be empty in order to move forward.
Correct.
So
if you've been in that house for 50 years,
oh,
I mean,
sure,
we're talking about a huge accumulation of items. And I'll tell you, I used to be in the storage industry, and I was always amazed at how many people have so many belongings that they need to store, you know, sometimes not in a small little unit, store right, the things that don't fit in their house. And so we definitely are accumulators just by nature, I think. And that's
regardless of our age, you know. We have what we have because we love what we have.
Right.
And so after we've gotten them moved and settled, and we're sure that they have everything they want and no more than will fit, and we give that some rest time. It's typically, we'd like to give them 2 to 3 weeks before we go to the next step, which is now what do you do with everything that's left in the house so that the house can now be sold or transferred?
And this is everything that's after they decide what they're going to take. Right. Now, this is all you can fit into. This is all you can fit into that house.
Yeah.
Now you have all these things left, and there's still another portion that you have to still have a part of this whole process.
That's right.
You and your company does.
Yeah. So our job is to make sure that every piece of the "I can't do this because" is handled. And some of the "I can't do this because" is "I don't know what I'm going to do with everything that I can't take."
Right.
And so we take care of that too. So we can store it if that's what they wish. We can ship it to their children who typically do not want it. We can donate it if they wish to have it donated. We can sell it. Or we can do all of those things. We can donate some, we can sell some, we can ship stuff, we can store stuff. But our goal is to take that piece of the process, which is overwhelming to many seniors, and handle it so that when we are done, the home is empty. We've swept it, mopped it, vacuumed and wiped it down so that they don't have to worry about that piece.
How do you guys handle the, I'm sure each person is different, but how do you handle the emotional attachment that they have to these items in the home?
It's not an easy process.
Uh-huh.
For some people, it's very straightforward and they've made these decisions, but for the most part, we're working them through it.
Right.
And we find it's different, and I hate to talk about gender because it's, you know, we shouldn't say anything is gender related. However, most ladies are attached to dining room tables, china and china cabinets. And it's because so many good memories of family,
right,
are made, mm-hmm, with those pieces of furniture. Mm-hmm. They remember every family meal. That said, this is an informal market. These are things that don't match the emotional value.
Okay.
So
right.
the literal value is nowhere close to the emotional value. So we talk to them about that, you know, some of what we face when making these decisions is that there are economics involved in supply and demand. Every person that is their age and slight, you know, anybody who is 65 or older has a china cabinet and a dining room table. Some right. of us have them even though we're younger than that. I'm not much younger, but, but they have, so if the market for the items is a younger market, because right. most people that are our age or older are divesting themselves of things, so
right.
they're not buying. Now you're talking to first-time homeowners or people who are trying to furnish their home locally. You know, they're here half the time and they skew a little younger and they're not looking for those sorts of things. So we walk them through just the basics
and the reasoning
and,
behind that.
Yeah. And they don't really, you know, it's different than if an adult child of a senior we are working with
okay,
tries to have.
We're going to just pause right sure. there. We're heading to the break. So you are listening to the I Am Real Estate Show, and we will be right back with you.
Thanks for hanging around, everyone. We're back to the show. You're with Sandra and Raymond, and we are here with
Sherry Gillette with
Thank
Caring
you.
Transitions.
I'm looking,
I can see
I'm looking
it in
right
his face.
At her. I'm looking right at her, and it just went blank.
We have all been there.
Yeah, well, more frequently than we like to admit. So we were right. just talking about kind of the difference between, you know, when you're looking at the value of an object and the emotional attachment
right.
and the emotional value that object has.
For sure.
Really, it doesn't always carry that same value when you're looking at what the family feels about it or today's market, the people that are shopping today.
For sure.
And so you were just starting to kind of compare those when we went to break.
Right. And where I was headed was if you are the adult child of someone who's getting ready to move, two things happen typically. First of all, you don't want to acknowledge that your parent is aging and they need a new situation. Or you are saying to your parent, you must move because.
Okay.
And when that is the circumstance, there's going to be power struggles all the way through that. And that's normal, and we know that. The interesting thing about having us come in and talk to a senior who's anticipating a move, we're going to be doing the same thing that that adult children does, which is helping them make decisions, but it doesn't come with the baggage right. of an adult child. So we're able to more, pragmatically work through it with them, and they're fine to take input and suggestions,
yes.
And they're okay with a firm hand. They may want to take more than they should, but we tell them all the time, you know, the walls are not going to grow and the things are not going to shrink. And so we can, you know, we get through it with them. And because we've established trust early on, we tell them, we know that you love everything. You just can't take everything. So we need to take the things that make your life the most fabulous that it can be.
I'm going to share a thought with you and with our listeners, because over the years, my solution to some of that has been to encourage, because I myself do this, I will take photographs of the things that are important to me or the kids' projects. I remember when my son made this paper mache javelina that was fabulous, but what am I going to do with it? 14 to 16 inch paper mache javelina. So taking photographs, and you know, photo books are so easy to produce now,
mm-hmm.
as are things like note cards, where you can use those photographs and give that item a new purpose and save the memory without saving the item.
For sure. We also talk to seniors about doing a reverse birthday. Several birthdays in advance.
I love
so,
that.
So, you know, it's your birthday. You invite all your friends over, and you start gifting them the pieces of your life that had significant meaning. So you've got a teapot that you love, or a sugar and creamer that you've loved. Giving that to a friend and giving it with the story of why it matters and
wow.
and this, you know, how special it is a real gift, because it's the story that you're attached to. And if you can give that story along with the item to one of your friends who still loves all that stuff, it's a really special way to start to make that transition in your mm-hmm. head long before you're ready to make the, you know, the physical transition.
Sure,
I love that idea.
Sherry, when you're meeting the first person for the first time, and let's say a agent refers you, and your first conversation, who are the people that you're meeting for the first time? Are you meeting the owner of the house and their parents and their kids? You're trying to meet everybody at once? Or what is your process for that?
Typically, it's the senior that calls us, and we're meeting with them.
Okay.
And they're signing their own contract.
Okay.
It's most often that senior taking control of their life, which is perfect.
Right.
And making decisions for themselves. There are times when someone has passed and we are now working with a realtor and the adult children. And that works fine too. So in that case, we'd be working with this person who is the trustee or the person who's in the executor or whoever's been placed in charge. We obviously can't have multiple decision makers because someone has to sign a contract and we right. have to have a single point of contact, but that's super easy.
How often do you run into a senior who may be dealing with dementia or Alzheimer's and you're concerned about whether or not they have the right to make those decisions?
Yeah, happens. First of all, cruelest disease ever.
Mm-hmm.
My mom suffered from it, so I know how devastating it can be. When we pick that up, we still treat them with great respect. And typically, we'll say, is there anyone else as part of your family that we can share this information with?
Okay.
We don't have them sign anything. If there's not, then we go back to the realtor or both. But typically involve a realtor, because a realtor is going to have to get a contract signed too. And we want to make sure that we understand that we're all on the same page and talking to the same person so that we're getting the signatures that we need to move forward without taking advantage, which we would never do, of a vulnerable senior.
And it's very complicated, I think, because my dad went through that as well. And, you know, there's a point where you see signs, but that person probably is still in a place where they're able to make many decisions for themselves, but they may forget to include family members. So I think that's just a really important piece and something we as agents do have to consider as well when you're dealing with someone and you get a feeling that maybe it's in question. You really want to move slowly and make sure that you're involving as much and not more than what you need to. It can be a tough place to be in.
Yeah, for sure. And even when we don't suspect any cognitive decline, we always ask them, is there anyone in your family that you'd like us just to keep in the loop? And we do that for a couple of reasons. Mm-hmm. Number one, some people with cognitive decline don't present as cognitive decline. Mm-hmm. They present themselves very well. But then you start to see that they're calling you and asking the same questions that you've answered. And then it's clear to you that there's something there. And so if we have that number up front, it's a son, it's a daughter, it's a neighbor, it's a, you know, we then have a second point of contact who can help reinforce some of the messaging and be the person that we can rely on for ensuring that we're not taking advantage of someone who's having a hard time retaining. Yeah.
Kind of an advocate for that person as well. And I think that is good for you.
For sure.
Because you always want to not have the appearance of ever putting someone in a position that they shouldn't be in. So
Goodness, no. And, you know, it's sad enough what they're going through without having them feel that they've been taken advantage of or that their family feels you have. So we tread really lightly there.
We truly like the way your process is a cradle to grave thing that you take from beginning to end. And also when you talk about the end, there's times where the items you just can't use. So I want to talk about on the next option. What are some of those options that they have as far as auctions and your storage area and things like that, what they can do with those items, putting up for sale and things like that? We're talking with Sherry. We're talking with Sherry Gillette, with owner of Caring Transitions. You're listening to the I Am Real Estate Show with Ray Smith and Sandra Johnson. We'll be back on the other side to talk a little bit more about Caring Transition, a great, great thing we have in two. We are here with Sherry Gillette, owner of Caring Transition. And we talked about before the break about the fact that once all the talking and everything is done and you found how much stuff they have and you got this is what you're going to take to the house, now you have all these other things that the agent and you are trying to find out what are we going to do with, and you have options.
Yeah, there are. We talked about them at the top of the show, but honestly we can do whatever makes sense for the senior. So store it, ship it, sell it, donate it.
How big is your storage area?
We don't have a storage area. We would just work out a storage solution for them. We don't store anything.
You just come up with a storage solution.
Correct. We help them work through the storage solutions and then get it to storage for them.
So I know you do the online auctions, but you also do estate sales.
We sure do.
So, what percentage would you say of your clients will go the estate sale versus the auction route?
Very few ever since the pandemic. So prior to the pandemic, we were primarily a physical estate sale business. And then the pandemic hit and obviously we were forced to convert to having online auctions. Mm-hmm. And then as the market started to open up again, then the market got super hot for selling houses and the timelines were so compressed and realtors and homeowners didn't necessarily want a lot of traffic in their house from estate sale. So an estate sale, to explain the differences, is we're inviting the general public into your home and they're going to walk through your home, all of them all at once typically, and buy the things they can see. They're pre-priced. They sell to those people. They carry them out. And that's awesome because some people just need to touch things to buy them.
Right.
The downside of that is it is traffic in your home, and security may, it all, while we keep a very secure environment, you worry about it a lot that, you know, what if someone takes something and puts it in their pocket? We monitor it really closely, but, you know, you never know.
Right.
So, but estate sales are a great option, and we do them. We do fewer of them now than we've ever done before. So we may do one a month now, where before we did 8 or 10
Wow.
a month. It's, I think, throughout the pandemic, we all became more comfortable with ordering and buying online, you know, and we're seeing that in our business. Both realtors and homeowners are more comfortable with the idea of not inviting the general public into the home and having an option that allows people to buy items that they see on the internet. So that would be an online auction. And there's two options when it comes to an online auction. One is we come into your home as a small team, we take photos of everything, and we upload those things to an auction site, and people bid on them.
Okay.
Unlike an estate sale, we do have to talk about everything that's awesome about this item, and we also have to take pictures of all the flaws. And where in an estate sale, you see what you get, you know. You,
right.
But so, but online auctions can be done in the home, and we do those twice a week right now. We're doing two online auctions in someone's home every single week. The other option is the timeline's super tight, or the location is not terrific, or there's no parking, or, you know, the HOA won't allow it. In that circumstance, we can come in and pack up all the things that need to be sold and move them to our warehouse, which is very close to here, and sell it from there. And so there's a lot of options when it comes to, though there's a subset of things that you wish to sell, and we can get them sold for you.
So I have been known to participate in those auctions here and there. And if someone doesn't have a need for help with a senior who's transitioning, they may be interested in purchasing items. Do you want to give some contact information on how they can view the items?
Absolutely. So we always have one auction go live on Wednesday night and two go live on Thursday night. And you can get there by typing into your browser southernarizona.ctbids.com. And that will take you directly to our website, our bidding site. Everything starts at $1. And I know that's a nerve-wracking thing for our clients. The good news is everything sells for a very nice value. It just doesn't happen right away. There's a sort of a bidding frenzy that starts about 36 hours out. And then again, as the day, as the hour counts down. So that would be Monday night for the Wednesday night sales and Tuesday night for the Thursday night sales.
So you put everything on auction and then you have a time limit?
We do.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. It goes up for a total of a little more than 5.5 days. We've played with this number every which way. We've tried 7 days. We've tried, 10 days, and more time did not equal anything different. You know, everyone waits till the last minute and then they compete. And because everybody needs to be a winner, that works in the favor of our client.
And if someone, isn't clearing an estate but has items to sell, you also have a sister company.
We do. So there's two ways to handle partials. One is we can take a smaller estate into our warehouse and sell it online. The other option is we have a sister company, Annabelle's Attic, and they will buy items. So that's an option as well.
And can you give us some location where Annabelle Attic's located?
Annabelle's Attic is at the corner of Speedway and Wilmot in the Monterey Plaza. It is, the physical address is 6202 East Speedway Boulevard. We're in the same complex as Beyond Bread, Bookman's, you know, those places.
What's your website?
Our website is caringtransitionstucson.com.
And you're listening to Sherry Gillette. I know I keep forgetting her name. I'm going to say it about three more times. Sherry Gillette.
Sometimes Sherry he Gillette. Forgets my name, so, you know.
Yeah. I forget my name sometimes, too.
Yeah, she's the owner of Caring Transitions, and this company is great. We'll have back on the show and talk a little bit more about the fact that this is a franchise, and that's something that we can sit back and get you next time on the show to sit back and discuss, if you don't mind.
Sure. Love to.
So great to have you on the show. It's so fun to talk to you. We know we're going to hear from you again. Again, you're listening to Sherry Gillette, of the owner of Caring Transition. You're listening to the I Am Real Estate Show with Ray Smith and Sandra Johnson. We will catch you on the other side. Thank you for listening to the show. We got one more segment to have a little bit of fun with. All right, welcome back to the show. You're here with Ray and Sandra. We're here with our next guest, who is calling via phone, is going to be Casey Anderson of Casey Anderson LLC's Consulting. And she works with the 4th Avenue Street Fair. Can you hear us, Casey?
I can hear you guys. How is everybody doing today?
We are doing great. Hey, thanks for taking the time to spend a little time with us, talk about something that's important. But I want to remind everyone that the 4th Avenue Street Fair is coming up.
It is. It's coming up next weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And the weather is going to be awesome, and I know there's going to be lots of people coming out to the fair.
The 4th Avenue Street Fair is kind of a tradition in Tucson.
It is a tradition, Sandra. It's been going on. This will be the 54th annual.
Wow.
It's been going on quite a long time. A lot has changed, I can tell you that, from the first fair to the one now. But again, you know, the recognition and the long-standing tradition is just recognized worldwide. So we're just excited that we're able to have it here in our community.
What kind of day would someone, let's say it's their first time coming out to the fair, what should they prepare for and what should they expect when they get to the street fair?
Great question. So there's something for everyone. Mm-hmm. I always tell people, try to come early. Parking is always can be a little bit of a challenge, so bring a lot of patience. There's public parking all around the fair. You plan on doing a lot of walking, so I always tell people, wear comfortable shoes. We work with Park Tucson and the garages, so there is a shuttle that runs from Pennington Garage downtown.
Wow.
to one of the areas that you can easily access the fair. The fair stretches from 8th Street all the way to University, so it's several city blocks. So I always tell people, plan on, you know, getting all your steps in while you're at the fair. But then once you're at the fair, there's definitely something for everyone. The food, the entertainment, the overstimulation from buskers and, you know, people hawking at you and the beer booths and all the different artists and, you know, all the homemade goods. It's a really stimulating experience, to say the least.
Casey, I just when we introduced you, I introduced you just as with your company. Could you tell them what you do for the 4th Avenue Street Fair, please?
Yeah, so Casey Anderson Consulting, we're a business consulting firm. So we consult and advise both for-profit and non-profit organizations on really any business matter. Our specialty is organizational structure, marketing, public relations, but we really work in all facets depending on what a client needs. So specifically for the fair, we help coordinate and help the 4th Avenue Merchants Association find ways to use the revenue to not only sustain and maintain the historic 4th Avenue district, but also to give back to other nonprofits and other groups in the community.
At this time, do you have all your booths and stuff filled up at this time?
we have like three booths left. That's it. Which I would guess by the end of today will probably be sold. So I'm gonna go with yes on that.
And do you have a lot of volunteers that help with the putting on the street fair?
Well, volunteers, I use that, we do. We have some volunteers. We have found that since COVID, volunteerism has kind of changed a little bit. We do have a lot of paid seasonal contract workers this fair. And I mean, that works too. We're able to give employment to people that may not be able to find it otherwise. So it's a really great community event.
And I have to ask, is this, I assume you have something for all ages as well?
Yes, definitely. There's something for all ages. The shopping, the food, you know, we have face painters and tarot card readers and, the glitter bead strand hair people. We have a Euro trampoline that's coming in for both, you know, big and small kids, I guess you could say. the guy convinces me that, you know, a large adult male could go on it. So we have a big Euro trampoline coming in. Ben's Bells is doing a pop-up community art shop. So the community can come out and, you know, glaze and paint the Ben's Bells ornaments that they're going to be bringing out for that. So there's definitely something for everybody.
I'm sorry I got to put you on the spot, Casey, but as far as the music, do you have a list of the name, or you can name a couple of people that will be playing during the event?
Yeah, absolutely. So the music is always a lot of fun. This for the spring, we actually teamed up with Cumulus Radio Stations and did a contest. So people had to submit a copy of their performance, and then we had a group of judges that went through and placed them. And it's not always necessarily on pure talent.
Right.
It's about also the experience. So we have, you know, a couple local singers, and then maybe we'll have a clogging dance troupe, and then maybe a drag show, and then maybe end the day with, I'll just throw them out there, but Zenora Band. It's a band made up of some pretty young guys. They're phenomenal, and they kind of rock it out. So they're going to be rocking out one of the stages Saturday afternoon.
Now, you said one of the stages. Do you have music occurring at separate locations?
Yep. So we have the Cumulus stage, which is sponsored by K-Hit, Kim FM, and The Vibe, and Ram Plumbing. That's going to be at 5th Street. And then we have what we call the 4th Avenue Community Stage, which will be located at 7th Street. They both have a variety of acts and equal talent and entertainment that runs through each day through the times that the fair are open.
Now, do you have ATMs available, or pretty much everybody accepts a debit and credit card these days?
Yes. So we do. ATMs are a big business at the street there. So, yes, we have tons of ATMs there throughout the fair.
Any other advice you'd give shoppers? They need to bring a good canvas bag for all those items that they're picking
definitely.
Up?
Bat or a stroller? I don't know. Depends on what you're going to be doing.
I like that idea.
If you wear really good shoes, you can always walk back to your car and then come back for a second time around. But dress comfortably. Usually our spring fair, the weather's fantastic Tucson weather, which can get a little warm in the afternoons. We will have plenty of beverages available. I always encourage people to drink a lot of water. Stay hydrated, maybe have a beer or two, but definitely stay hydrated. A lot of people want to bring their pets, and although we love pets on 4th Avenue, we highly encourage people leave the furry ones at home. The weather can be really warm on their feet. There's not really a lot of spaces where they can get access to water.
Right.
And the overstimulation that can happen to animals. There's a lot happening at the fair. So we just tell them that the pets will probably be more happier staying home.
That sounds actually like some great advice. Well, we are wrapping up the segment here, but we definitely want to get your website out to our listeners.
Awesome. Yeah, for more information, you can go to www.4thavenue.org.
And I won't ask you to give your phone number to everyone who is looking for a parking spot for the 4th Avenue Fair.
You know, we do. We actually do have information available for anybody that has questions and wants to call ahead. They can actually call the 4th Avenue office.
Good.
We will be open extended hours throughout the whole weekend so we can help people that might have questions. And that number is 520-624-5004.
You want to give us that one more time?
It's 520-624-5004.
Yes, great. We want to thank you so much, Casey, for taking the time to tell us about the 4th Avenue Street Fair. And this is being brought to you by Casey Anderson from Casey Anderson Consulting, LLC.
Thank you, guys. I hope to see everyone out there next weekend.
Awesome. Okay. Thanks, Casey.
All right. Bye, guys.
Bye. Hey, before we wrap up for today, we also wanted to mention that Danielle Johnson with the Johnson Smith team has a How to Buy Your First Home class that's being offered, and that is on March 23rd from 5:30 to 7 p.m. If you would like to RSVP for that, you could call Danielle directly, and I'm her mom. You think I'd have her phone number.
While she's working on that.
Let me get the phone number for you here in just a second.
We'd like to thank Casey Anderson and also Sherry Gillette for being on the show today.
And so the number to register for the class would be 520-373-6864. And again, that is a class just to kind of understand the home buying process, and you would all be welcome to join her on March 23rd.
You're listening to the IM Real Estate Show with Sandra Johnson and Ray Smith. We appreciate you coming to the show and listening to us. And want to bring up one other thing. If you are looking to buy or sell your home, or if you have any questions concerning real estate, please call the Johnson Smith team at 520-904-7711.
And we'd like to thank our sponsors, Horizon Inspections, Indy Realty, Inspired Life Mortgage, Rego Pest Prevention, Pioneer Title Agency, and our new partnership with Caring Transitions. We appreciate you being here. And if you use one of our sponsors, we just would ask that you tell them that Ray and Sandra and Danielle sent you.
Okay, guys, we'll see you next week.